How does Stephen feel about the theories of multiverses now, more than one universe?
Well, we discussed that in the book. The multiverse is a consequence of Stephen's theories of cosmology. It's not a theory that people say, oh, let's theorize the multiverse and see what the consequences are. But it itself is a consequence of the theory of creation of the universe. And there are other theories around besides Stephen's, but many theories of modern cosmology seem to point toward the multiverse. And so a multiverse means many universes with different physical laws. And so in our book, we talk about, in Stephen's theory, that the universe was created from nothing. This and many other universes were created from nothing, and they all have different physical laws. And so the fact that the laws of nature are so finely tuned to allow a universe to develop as ours did, that would allow complex life to develop, suddenly is understandable when you realize that, well, there's maybe 10 to the 500th other universes out there with other laws of nature, and most of them don't have, physicists wondering about the laws. They don't have complex life forms. But of course, if we're here to study it, then obviously we're going to find that it allows us to be here. That part is a tautology. So,
and if we weren't here, we wouldn't know how grand this universe really was. So there's got to be a reason for that too.
Yeah, and a lot depends on where we are in time. About 100 billion years from now, the universe is expanding. And I should explain what that means. Space is expanding. You can think of it as the surface of a balloon. It's hard to imagine three-dimensional space expanding, and you wonder, it's hard to visualize. But imagine instead of being in three dimensions, with forward, backward, left, right, up and down, that you're in two dimensions, just like a table of a surface of a table or something that's two-dimensional. Let's imagine, though, that you're on the surface of a balloon. That's what the universe is like. It's like the surface of a balloon. It's like you're a bacteria on the surface of a balloon. You can't go up or down. You can't get off the balloon and look down at it. You're stuck on the surface. And this balloon is being blown up constantly. It's blowing up faster and faster. And as it's blowing up, that's what we mean by the space is expanding. And the objects that are held together by forces like you and me or the solar system or the galaxy, they don't expand as the balloon expands. They keep their shape, but the space between them expands. So if you fast forward 100 billion years from now, there will be so much space between all the galaxies that if there was like a Milky Way type galaxy and people developed on one of the planets there and they would come up with their own physical theories, it would be kind of interesting because they'll almost be back to in a way, pre-Copernican times, because the universe was expanded so much that the only thing they could see is their own galaxy, and they would think that there was no galaxy outside of their own, and that they were the Milky Way was the only galaxy in the universe, and everything else would be beyond detection. And they would come up with their theories and think that they were the only galaxy in the universe, and it's kind of mind-boggling to think about that. But it's 100 billion years from now, But what our theories are depend on where we are and what we can observe.
Things happen in the universe, and again, it seems like it happens because it's supposed to. Is there anything that could go wrong in the universe that shouldn't happen, and it could happen?
What does shouldn't mean? You mean shouldn't means the laws of nature say that it's not allowed?
It's not allowed.
It means it's bad for us. Oh, well, we don't believe that, and we talk about that in the book, that there has never been any evidence that nature does not everywhere and at all times follow the laws of the universe. And this has been tested not just, of course we test this all over in laboratories on Earth, but through our astronomical observations, we test this, zillions of miles away and billions of years ago, and we can predict things that happened, 13 billion years ago, and we can take measurements and find that our theories are correct. So we don't believe that things will happen that are outside the laws of nature.
Every star, for example, every star should have a finite life to it, right? They're not going to burn forever.
Well, yeah, pretty much. I mean, there are the normal stars will not burn forever. That's right, yeah.
So
forever is a long time.
Yeah, oh, it sure is. It sure is. But they're just, you know what I wanted to wait until next hour, but I might as well start this now. When Stephen says, and perhaps you, that this universe started from nothing, I can't understand that, Leonard. I can't comprehend nothing. And then how it started from nothing. I just can't comprehend it. Help me.
Well, I understand that. And there's a lot that goes on in modern physics that is very difficult to comprehend if all your experience that you've had so far is with the everyday world.
Right.
And
right.
You know, Newton's laws, although they were complex mathematically, the reality that they reflected was the reality of everyday life. So the predictions fit very well with what we see and what we observe. But as people in the everyday world, our instruments that we use are, you know, our senses, and they're it turns out they are, you know, crude instruments. And around 1900, scientists, you know, were able to delve into the universe and matter on a different level, you know, to look deeper at the microscopic, you know, on the atomic level or the particle level to understand how the universe functions, and also on the very far, you know, very huge level, the cosmological level. And they found that in those realms that are not part of our everyday experience, that things happen, that things behave much differently. Reality is different. I mean, I can talk about reality a little bit, but the reality is very different. And, you know, physicists aren't born as physicists. You're born with the same everyday experience that people have, but through the years of doing problem-solving equations, writing papers, reading papers, you develop your intuition and your mathematical pictures of what's going on, and you get you can get an intuition for these things because you work with it all the time. But it's not unusual to to find them hard, these realities hard to grasp. And so the idea of nothingness in quantum theory is the theory of the universe on a very small level, right? And as it turns out that the macroscopic world we live in behaves in the in the way that our intuition tells us, but it's in a way it's an illusion or it's an approximate vision, and underneath beneath that it's made of little things that are behaving much differently. And somehow, just like a few water molecules don't have a wave, they don't get you wet, they just behave like molecules. But when you have a lot of them, they can be an ocean, and you can have waves, and they can splash and make your clothes wet, and it has all these properties that are very different in the aggregate than they are on the atomic level, and the whole universe is like that. And quantum theory describes the way the universe behaves on that level, and that reality is very different. But with regard to this one question of nothingness, quantum theory tells us that nothingness is in a sense unstable, that things are always coming and going from nothingness.